In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the reading of this blessed Sunday, the Lord set before us a rule that without exception, when he says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. So he is warning us in a way that unless we are walking in the light, eventually darkness will overtake us. It's exactly like someone is following us and trying to get dominion and control over us. So the call for us is always to be attentive. Are we walking? Are we in the light? Or are we already taken in the darkness? So if we do not love, hatred will come to us. If we are not praying, then all of the negative thoughts will creep into our hearts. If I am not walking in a certain virtue, eventually the vice opposite to it will overtake my heart and my thinking. So today, we are going to compare between the light of contentment, the virtue of being always satisfied and content, and accepting what God is giving to me, what is my share in life, and the darkness of greed. As I said, unless we are walking in the light, darkness will come to us. We don't have even to go to it. It will overtake us. Let us talk first about the light of contentment. This virtue, when we acquire it, by then we are sitting on the top of the world. This is what St. Augustine said. He said, I felt in my heart that I am on the top of the world when I desired nothing and I was afraid of nothing. This virtue of contentment that St. Paul said about it, that godliness with contentment is great gain. Walking as a godly person, doing what is befitting the saints, and having this sense of satisfaction and contentment is a great gain. Nothing else can match this one. Nothing in this world we can acquire that can make us happier or better. Even if we think that maybe happiness will come to me from outside, it is not. Contentment and happiness are all from inside. Contentment is not only about positions, how much money I have, how much of like this material things that I acquire. Contentment is about everything, about whom I am, everything that is about me, what I like and what I am struggling to change, what I am content, how God created me, what I learned so far. I know I am lacking certain things, but I am content. I know that God is working with me to change me and transform me and make me more and more in His image. I am content with the circumstances that I am living within. The family, at the end of the day, it's my choice. I like it or not, this is something that's now I have to be within this border, within this house. The city that I live in. The church that God allowed me to be in. Contentment is about everything around us. And again, when we acquire the attitude of grumbling, we grumble against everything. It's not limited only to one thing. If I'm not happy, if I'm not satisfied, nothing will make me happy. And this extends towards everything. And we spread this spirit of negativity in everything we touch. It is very hard when we live away from the light of contentment. With contentment comes with it, comes peace, comes love of my neighbor, thanksgiving, being able to enjoy the blessings that we receive from God. How many of us really they feel like they are blessed? When they come to the church, I love to come to meet the people in the church. When I go back home, I am delighted to see my family. How much we feel peace in all the circumstances that we are going through. This is what happened with what comes with contentment. We will be able to love others because we are not going to compare ourselves at all times with them, and we feel like I'm missing this, and why this person have got this blessing and I lack it. With contentment also comes thanksgiving. If we know how to thank God for everything, as we always repeat it over and over and over, we thank you for everything, concerning everything, and about everything, in all the circumstances, we offer thanksgiving. We mean it, because we know and we acknowledge how much we are blessed. This is what comes with contentment. This virtue is one that we can learn, and we can adapt and train ourselves in order for us to be able to accept what we are going through. And not only accept it, we even find what is good about it and we enjoy it. And if there is any pain and suffering, maybe there is a lesson that God set before us to learn. Saint Paul says to us and to the Philippians, I have learned it in whatever state I am to be content. In whatever state, even in prison, I am content. If this is not something within my hand to change, why I should feel sorry or bad or I add misery to my circumstances? There is a saying that I like and I always like to repeat. Pain is inevitable. You cannot avoid it. Misery is optional. Pain is inevitable. It will happen. If there is something in common among all of us, without me knowing what's happening in your lives, I can say we all have reasons of suffering. But misery is a choice. I choose to live wrathful, miserable, not happy, and I spread this even to the people around me. Contentment brings joy and this sense of I'm thankful for whatever's happening in my life. I'm still can be able to see what is good about it. So Saint Paul said, I have learned to live contently. How can we learn to live in this status? It's a mindset, by the way. It's not a skill. It's how we transform our way of thinking in order for us to be able to see things differently. How can we get into this status? First, we need to train ourselves to appreciate what we receive and do not ask for more. I like whenever parents, they serve food before their kids, and the kids accept it with no word except thank you. And whenever I give a blessing, like ologeia at the end of the liturgy, some of the kids, they say, I want more. I want a bigger piece. Parents, sometimes they come behind them and say thank you. And this is the attitude that we need to encourage and promote. Whatever given to us, we accept it and we say, I appreciate and I thank you. No one is obliged to serve us in any way or any capacity. The servants in the church are all volunteers. Definitely, nothing is perfect, including the whole rank of the servants, starting from the priest and everybody else. But how do we look at the service? Do we appreciate it and we see that those people are doing something out of their love, volunteering their time? Or I have things to complain and grumble against, and maybe I would say that I have many criticism, but I cannot see what is good and I cannot appreciate it. It starts from the food that's served on your table at home and goes up all the way to God Himself. Train yourself to appreciate what you receive. Do not ask for more or to change what is given to you. I always say this to the kids, whatever is served before you is a blessing that we don't deserve. Just accept it and thank God for it. Secondly, we can learn and we can teach others, our children, to offer thanks daily for what was granted to us. When we keep complaining and we say that we are lacking this, we are missing this, we are waiting for this to happen, we forget what we have. And that's why thanksgiving becomes something that's just a word on the mouth. All of what is my mind is the obsession about what I'm missing. And this overwhelms me. And this is what will happen. And this is a characteristic of darkness. Once it is in, it overtakes everything. I'm only focused on what's missing, what I am after. And once I attain it, if I ever attain it, there will be something else missing. And I move from one item to another item with no time where I am cheerful and happy and I appreciate things. If it happens, maybe it happens for a few hours, for a couple of days, before I move on to another reason, where I feel like I'm miserable, I'm missing things, I wish things would change in a certain way so I can be happy. To learn to be content, we need to learn how to set the right value on things around us. We all have things around us, people, positions, status. We need to put the value on it. So we will know that whatever is missing is not really that big of a deal. But when we set the wrong value, I sit on a certain position, or a house, or a job, a great value, that I would trade the desire to acquire this with everything else and anything else. When we set the wrong value on things, definitely we'll feel like life is not fair to us. Do not grant us what we think is fair. Maybe God Himself is not fair. We need to teach our children how to set value for the family, how to set value for being together, just sitting on the same table, eating a simple meal, and we appreciate it, and we thank God for this, to have a place where we can all be together. Above all, it's a blessing that's beyond what really can we describe, and we have to offer thanks for it. We need to teach our children, ourselves, how to appreciate the church and what was granted to us through the church. We need to learn how to appreciate life and the talents and gifts that God granted to us, the school that we go to, the streets that we walk in. Look, when we grumble in the streets of Egypt that's chaotic, and we come to here, a city that's, of course, more organized, and after a few years, we start grumbling also for the streets of Houston, even though that in Egypt, maybe we're dreaming to just like drive in streets where everybody like go in the same lane, that's it. In order for us to learn how to be content, we should not meditate upon what others have and what in their hand. It should not be something troubling when my neighbor or my friend in the church acquired a new house that's worth this sum of money. It shouldn't be subject really for our like feelings and thoughts about why this person was granted this and why this person have got this and I didn't get any of these. All of these thoughts will trouble us and will take peace away from us, will not allow us to really rejoice with those who rejoice. We will be more envious, jealous, and feeling like, why God is not giving me as this other person. To learn how to be content also, we need to look after those who do not have what we have and try to feel their suffering. Why, when it comes to comparison, we compare ourselves with those who were granted things more than us? Why we do not make the same comparison with our families and friends in Egypt, for example? I'm not going to go to any other part of the world. This is the place where we all, maybe most of us, lived in. Why we don't see their suffering and we compare ourselves with them and see how much we were blessed and we feel like we are responsible for them, that we extend the hand, and this becomes what really takes our minds. How can I help? How can I extend the hand? How can I give more in order for those people who are suffering, maybe have the same like fortune like me, or enjoy the same peace that we enjoy here? It's a different way of how to look at life. You either look at those who are in need and you see how much you are blessed and you extend hand, or you look at those who are granted more one way or another, and then you envy them and you feel this bitterness towards everyone around you. The sixth step to learn how to be content: do not befriend a grumbler. Actually, we need to repent if we are grumblers. I think maybe it is worth that maybe we have a recorder in our pockets and that record for us 24 hours what we are saying. You know, there is some kind of a device that they make an EKG for 24 hours. Maybe something like this for what we say will tell us if we are grumblers. We are not happy with anything. When I said, do not befriend a grumbler, this is not me, this is King Solomon in the book of Proverbs, when he says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Grumbling is contagious. When you sit in a setup, group of people who keep on remembering what is negative and speak about what is missing and how life is not fair and how the people are not helpful and how the church is full of negative things, this spirit will come to you eventually. There is no way you can avoid it. You may come into this setup and you feel like I'm happy, everything going well. And I come out from it, I feel wrathful and angry. Because yes, they have a point, what they're saying is right. And now my eyes are open to see what's negative around me, and this make me feel bad. I am the same person, but with different feelings, simply because I associated myself with grumblers. The seventh step, set your heart on the true gain, who is the Lord Himself alone. When our eyes are only after acquiring more things, searching for happiness in something, it is very hard to focus on the true gain, God Himself. Maybe we say it, maybe we repeat the words just to make our conscience at peace. Yes, I want to be in heaven, I love God, but truly what overwhelms me and takes my passion all the time is what I'm missing or what I think I need to acquire. This is what will make me happy. Otherwise, I am sad and I am miserable. St. Paul said to Timothy, but those who desire to be rich, you can substitute rich with any other desire. Those who desire to be anything or desiring for anything that's earthly or temporal. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Every desire that's after something else, not God, will lead us into this unfortunate place. Then talking for a few minutes about the darkness of greed. Now we spoke about the light of contentment, we move into the darkness of greed. The whole Garden of Eden, with all what was given to Adam and Eve in it, was not enough for them. Imagine, who else would be desiring anything? They were in the garden and they were not happy. Something is still they want. Maybe if I become like God, I will become happier. So don't ever think that in whatever you are desiring, once you are there, you will be happy. It's not going to happen this way. This is what you imagine, what you tell yourself. Maybe you are convinced, if I get there, I will be happy. If you are in the Garden of Eden and you did not learn to be content, you are not going to be happy, as Adam and Eve show to us. As in the book of Ecclesiastes we hear, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. This is the nature of things around us. If this is what I love, I will never be happy with it. If I am maybe to be promoted in my work and this is what I love, what I am focused on all the times, no position, no matter what, will make you happy. You can get into whatever ranks, still something more and something more. Only God, when we love Him, fill our hearts with this sense of peace and contentment. If you love anything, people when they are in the time of engagement or they are in a relationship starting, they define happiness is to be with this person. This is the ultimate goal. And then what happened after this is we all know, we get used to the person. It doesn't mean that happiness should be less, but meanwhile, this is not happiness. Contentment is something that's from above to the heart. It is not in acquiring any person or anything or any whatever status. Greed is the mother of rebellion and complaining against God Himself. Korah and Dathan and Abiram in the book of Numbers, we hear about them. Those people, they were actually Korah from the Levites. He was serving in the tabernacle. But he desired to become a priest. Why? This is not your call. Why not? Why not? And he deceived himself by saying, I want to serve God. Why you, Moses and Aaron, are taking this honor for yourselves? The whole assembly is holy. So he started to complain and grumble. And we all know how things ended for him. When we are not happy, we start to rebel. And rebellion will go against God because He is the provider. We look to Him and ask, why? What's the problem with me? Or is it a problem with you? Greed or covetousness is not fitting for the saints. Look here, St. Paul put covetousness, which is greed, in the same sentence with fornication and say this not fitting the saints, meaning we cannot be saved with it. We deal with the subject of greed as it's a trivial thing. It's not a big deal. But look here, St. Paul says to the Ephesians, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even named among you as is fitting the saints. Covetousness equal to fornication. Actually, fornication is a kind of covetousness. Covetousness or greed for acquiring like the body of others. And this is again here something that can be in the way for us to reach heaven. Greed is the trigger of contentions and wars. Most of the wars in history is about a leader or a nation that was greedy for other nations' positions. What is applied on nations, applied on individuals, applied on tribes, applied on everything. St. James says this, meaning, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. This passion that overwhelms us, I want to obtain something. This might lead us into many, many contentions and strife and fights, and we lose people around us because I think it's my right and I need to acquire this. And we can sacrifice many things along the way, brothers and sisters and families and everything, because I want to get this, what I think will make me happy. This is how things evolve and develop. Greed also deprives life of every delight, fills the heart with sadness and self-pity. It lessens the value of what we have and magnifies the value of the things that we are lacking. When we look at our possessions, I got a new car. I love my car. I'm very excited about it. It's not me, and I'm just speaking in example. And then we come to the church, and I see that my best friend have another car that's a better model and more expensive. And all of a sudden, my car looks miserable. I don't like it anymore. And I go back and I grumble to my parents, why did you grant me this? My friend got this. Apply this on everything else. Everything, even including it, like the simplest thing. When we compare it, then we cannot be happy. And this negativity spreads from an area to another area. Let us all learn to walk in the light of contentment, to come to the church with a sense of, I am satisfied, I'm happy, I like everything around me, and I thank God for everything, for the people and for my positions and for everything. And let us go back home also with the same feeling and live with it and learn how to be appreciative of what was granted to us and the share that God allows us to enjoy in this temporary life. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.